and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. Our guest today is Yemi Moses, who will be sharing her story about life with sickle cell disease. Yemi is from Durham, North Carolina, one of my favorite cities in the United States. We're actually considering moving down there.
Yep.
Her parents came from Nigeria, having seven children, four of whom have sickle cell disease. Welcome to the show, Yemi.
Hi, Yemi. And I know you have an incredible biography, and we will make sure that we post that on our website.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And good afternoon, a happy Saturday. Hi, it's a privilege to be here with you guys today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Yemi, and Again, and Lita said thank you for taking time to join us today. In the past, we've had the honor, actually, of speaking with a number of individuals with different forms of sickle cell disease from, you know, different parts of the world. Could you tell us more about how sickle cell disease is inherited and the more common form of sickle cell disease?
Persons can't catch sickle cell disease from another person like one would catch a cold or the flu. Sickle cell can only be inherited from parents, and to inherit sickle cell disease, both parents have to carry the sickle cell trait.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit more about the genetics involved with sickle cell disease?
The sickle cell is an autosomal recessive disorder, which means that both parents must carry the sickle cell gene to have a child with sickle cell disease. And to carry the gene, the parents could themselves have sickle cell disease or be carriers, which means they have the trait but not sickle cell disease.
Okay, so a parent might carry the disease but may not necessarily have it themselves.
Right. I think it's like kind of like blue. I mean, this is like a very broad comparison, but like blue eyes.
Mm-hmm. Recessive?
Yeah.
Okay.
And go ahead.
So my parents both have the trait. They came up in Nigeria, and back then there wasn't a lot of exposure or education or even knowledge about sickle cell disease, what it was and how it can be passed on. My mother and my father both have the trait, and so they in turn had four of us who had the disease. There's some situations where one person can just have the disease and another person doesn't have the disease or has the trait, and it can be carried on. So there are different ways that can be carried, but both parents have to have at least the trait.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. And Yemi, how common is sickle cell disease?
Sickle cell is widespread. It affects many races and ethnicities. It's common among Africans, African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, Indians, and people of Mediterranean and Middle Eastern descent.
I know we were talking earlier about how our world, it's, you know, like people travel and it's, you know, it is more of a global community. So thinking about something being isolated from a particular area or region is kind of It's not applicable anymore. Okay, thanks.
Yemi, can you tell us, are there any complications from living with sickle cell disease? Is it something that gets better or does it get worse with age?
There are a lot of complications of living with sickle cell disease. You can get anywhere from sickle cell crises, which is basically excruciating pain that can happen all over your body. It can be in one local area, maybe just your back, maybe your chest, or it can be in your back, your chest, your arms, your legs, everywhere. Pneumonia is a complication. Stroke is a complication, which I had a stroke at the age of 12.
Oh my gosh.
Acute chest syndrome, where basically it really does so much damage to your lungs. So there's so many different complications. And in the past, sickle cell patients often die as a result of the complications from organ failure and from infection. But today, people with sickle cell can live until their 50s, 60s, and beyond, thanks to modern medicine. In fact, I was traveling last year. My family took a trip to Jamaica, and we all went, you know, we took different flights, but we met up there. And while I was on the flight, I met a woman who, I don't know why I brought up I had sickle cell disease, because I'm pretty private about it, or in the past I have been private about it, but I brought up that I had sickle cell disease, and she started telling me about her aunt. Her aunt was 80 plus, maybe close to 90 before she passed away with sickle cell disease. So we're living much longer today, and I think that as we've become more educated about our disease, we've learned better how to manage it. Drinking plenty of fluids, getting enough rest, and staying away from stress as much as possible are precautions that we can easily take. And these are the things that help us manage our health more. And we also have to pay attention to the signs of sickle cell complications. Like if you feel pain coming on, you know, sometimes there's a tendency to say, well, maybe it's sickle cell, maybe it's not. I'm not going to do anything about it. You know, I'm just going to let it go and go. I used to be like that as a youngster, but I'm older now, I'm more wise. And once I feel a little tingling of a pain, I just say, okay, let me stop everything. Let me take whatever medicine I have just so it doesn't, so that it doesn't exacerbate. So there are different things that we can do to exercise control of how we live with sickle cell disease.
Okay.
Oh, that's great. I guess, yeah, the more you're familiar with it and, yeah, having control over your own health is vital. Is there a way to cure sickle cell disease or correct it at this point?
Well, bone marrow transplantations have been successful in some cases in curing sickle cell.
Okay.
The bone marrow donor is usually a sibling with the same bone marrow type as the patient. Unfortunately, there's only 1 in 10 sickle cell patients that are able to find a matching donor. My brother, because like you guys said at the beginning, there were 4 of us born with sickle cell disease, and my youngest brother, he had a successful stem cell transplant a couple of years ago, actually April of 2018.
Okay.
And he's doing very well now. In fact, as of his last blood test, the doctor found that he doesn't have any more sickle cells in his blood.
Wow.
And all of his other blood counts are reading normal. And then fortunately, there are other treatments that have been successful in managing sickle cell disease. Hydroxyurea, which is what I've been taking for the last 26 years, I don't want to say it's an up-and-coming treatment, you know, but I'm still hearing the conversation about it as if it's new, but it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really helpful and allowed me to live a pretty normal life as a sickle cell patient.
Okay.
Can you tell us about the future of gene editing treatment options for sickle cell? Have you heard about that?
Just a little. I've heard about CRISPR. It's a gene editing, genetic engineering technique in molecular biology by which genomes of living organisms may be modified. I heard last year, a couple of years ago, that they're doing it overseas. And I think I just read something a couple of weeks ago about a trial that they're doing in the Texas area.
Okay.
And I'm really trying to tap into it because it's something I'm interested in.
So, sure.
But
sure.
I haven't heard any. Yeah.
So you say that the trials here in the U.S. Are something that you might be looking into, right?
Yeah, I actually tried to participate in, my brother had a stem cell transplant, and so he used my sister's stem cells. They were 100% match. Unfortunately, I'm not 100% match with anyone, and so the other option I had was gene therapy, I think they call it, which is they would take my gene and fix it or edit it. And I think it's something similar to what I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then put that gene back in me and I would be healed. Of course, I would go through a process before the healing would happen. Unfortunately, I'm not eligible for any of those trials, or as of the time that I tried to participate, which was end of 2018, I wasn't eligible. So it's something I'm still going to pursue, because hydroxyurea has worked for me, but, you know, when I talk to my brother who no longer has sickle cell, he tells me he can walk up the steps without, you know, being winded, or, you know, he goes from one country to another country so often, you know, it's a freedom
mm-hmm.
that I would love to experience as well.
And I think it's a good reason for all of us to out there to you know, do the cheek swab and register as a bone marrow donor.
Right.
And because you could be, you know, helping someone's, you know, significantly improve their life. So everybody can go out there, can go and do that cheek swab and see if you're eligible or a match for someone.
In your bio, Yemi, you mentioned you have a strong interest in research. Do you want to tell us more? Can you elaborate on that?
I'm a clinical research associate, so I monitor trial studies, which is one of the beginning processes of drug development. So before any drugs are approved by the FDA and sold in CVS or Walgreens, they have to go through a process where patients use them or trial them, and then doctors monitor the safety and efficacy of the drugs in the human subjects. And it's funny because I was actually a trial subject in 1994 with hydroxyurea.
Oh.
The doctors were testing the efficacy and safety of hydroxyurea in sickle cell patients. And they determined over the years and even then that it does work well for us. So it's just funny how life is a full circle. You know, I started as a trial subject, you know, taking a medicine that 26 years later I'm still taking and it helps me. And now I'm on the other end of it, helping to monitor trial studies for people who still do have health issues.
Wow. Okay. That's fantastic.
That's amazing. You also traveled to Nigeria, right? You did some teaching there?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us about some of the differences between the two countries in regard to sickle cell disease?
I can't really say I observed any major differences in sickle cell disease between Nigeria and here. One thing I can say is that I was hospitalized several times while I was in Nigeria with malaria and sickle cell crisis, or with sickle cell crises that came as a result of malaria, which growing up, I never knew a sickle cell patient could have malaria. I was always told that if you have sickle cell, you can't get malaria.
Oh.
And, you know, before I went to Nigeria, I was taking whatever medicines that they said prevents malaria. And I probably had malaria up to 5 times while I was there.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, which is crazy, which is one of the reasons I left, because as much as I did love Nigeria, I love my life, and malaria is not good for my life. And
right.
So I said, okay,
right.
Let me get out of there. If I ever have the opportunity to go back there, I definitely would. But, you know, in terms of my health, I have to protect myself. But, you know, in terms of the treatment or the differences between the two countries, they were able to treat me every time I was hospitalized with no major issues. There may be a difference in the medications administered, but during my last hospitalization in Nigeria, my doctors there in Nigeria worked very closely with my doctors here in the U.S. So I was glad that doctors in Nigeria, you know, they reached out to my team, my home team, and then they took their advice, which did help me to get better.
Oh, that's great. It's fantastic.
And Yemi, what would you say is the most challenging part of being a patient with sickle cell disease?
Being a patient, you know, sickle cell, and there have been some, you know, worse parts of, you know, me dealing with sickle cell.
Mm-hmm.
And it would depend on when I'm asked. If it was when I was growing up, it would be that, you know, a lot of times I felt left out and I couldn't participate in all the activities that I wanted to because of the fear of me getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a different time in my life, it would be, you know, going through the excruciating pain of a sickle cell crisis. And, you know, as much as we're getting medications in the hospital, the pain is so deep that you feel like there's no relief, no way for it to get better. And sometimes it takes days or weeks to get better. You know, it could be a time that I could say I felt rejected by some because of their feelings that being in a relationship with me, someone who has sickle cell disease, could present a risk for them that they didn't want to deal with.
Oh.
The stigmatization that we deal with as a result of having this disease is real. And then more recently, you know, it could be the loss of my sister, who was my very best friend, and the loss of my younger brother. They both died from complications of sickle cell disease. My sister passed in 2017. My brother passed in 2019. And that was so devastating for the whole family. So there's so many aspects of this disease and how it affects one. And, you know, it's painful, you know.
Sure. I'm so sorry.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about your loss.
And, Yemi, I understand that you have a daughter. I was just curious, how old is she now? And does she also carry the trait or have sickle cell disease?
Yes, I have a beautiful two-year-old daughter who is turning 22 in September. You know how that is.
Yes.
She's my joy, my blessing, my surprise, my everything. And I've been so blessed to be able to have her as a part of my life. When I was pregnant, my doctor was really like, okay, are you sure? You know, this can't, you know, end your life. And I'm like, yes, I'm sure. I'm going to continue to just pray and trust God and believe, because I know this is something that I've always wanted. So, you know, I'm so blessed and privileged to have her. And she does carry the trait. Her father was AA. Okay. And I am SS, and so the two of us together, you know, we didn't have her. I mean, she's not a sickler, but she does carry the trait.
Okay. And you were saying how, you know, it, depending on when, if we were to ask, you know, at what stage in your life, what was the most challenging part of this? But what has been the most difficult part of this journey, and how have you... what have you used, you know, like friends, family, or other things to get through the difficult and challenging parts of living with sickle cell?
I think getting to the place of acceptance for me has been like, that has been where I was able to break free. And that has brought about control. You know, it took me a while to be okay and accepting of the fact that I have sickle cell disease. I always felt like it was a curse that I never asked for, never wanted, and it was something that made my life so difficult and so painful, both physically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. But once I got to a place of accepting this disease, then I began to exercise control over it. And I realized sickle cell is not a death sentence. You can live a healthy life with the disease. I travel all over the world. I do things that still amaze my pediatricians and close friends, because I got to the place where I said, I will not allow this disease to be a limitation in my life. I will not allow this disease to define my life. And so I take the very best care of myself as a normal, you know, a healthy person would do. And as a result of that, I live abundantly. So I think just getting to a place of acceptance, you know, has been the journey for me.
Okay. That's wonderful, Yemi. Thank you for sharing that with us. How can our listeners learn more about you? Do you have any social media accounts or anything that you can share with us that we can post on your behalf?
You guys can share my biography. I'm on Facebook. I'm not really active on any of the other social media platforms, but you know, Facebook will be a good way to connect with me. My biography, you guys
yes,
can help to facilitate
right,
that.
Right, we're going to post that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll mm-hmm. post that on our website for sure. And yeah. What is your Facebook? I looked for you, actually, on Facebook, and there are quite a few with that name. So how do we know which one is you?
They're probably all me, because I've been through this different phases where I'm like, okay, I'm going to cancel my Facebook account. Mm-hmm. So I have one with Olu Yemi Moses, but my most current one is Yemi Moses.
Okay. All right. So they were you. I was going to say, wow, there's a lot of people with that name. I was very impressed.
Nice.
Yemi, do you have any tips, hints, or suggestions for our listeners? Something that, you know, has helped you get through the rough times that might help other people?
I would just say mindfulness. You know, living a life of mindfulness, being mindful of your situation. And it's not always health. You know, some of us deal with health issues. Some of us deal with emotional issues. Some of us deal with, you know, different issues. And so just be mindful of who you are, where you are, and what stage in life you are in, and walk you know, in respect to that or with respect to where you are. You know, if you have health issues, do what it takes for you to live a healthy life. Because we are ultimately in control of the life we live. You know, we can say we've been given this or something came on us. But even as that happens, you come to a place where you exercise control and you say, you know what, I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak health. I'm going to speak laughter. I'm going to speak love. Whatever you want to speak into your life, be mindful about it and take control of the life that you live in the way that you want to.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's great advice for everybody.
That's great information. Yeah. Again, Yemi, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us. I'm sure, I know I learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners learned a lot from listening to you as well.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Yemi.
Yes, and again, thank you guys for having me on. I've always wanted to share my story. And like I said at the beginning, I've always been very private, my life and myself. And I've always wanted to make an impact. And so how can you make an impact if you're private? The
you're
truth
right,
can't
right.
coexist. And so,
well, you certainly are.
Yeah. Just having the opportunity to share my story that so many people, millions of people are dealing with, you know, whether it's sickle cell or something else, just having the opportunity to share my story means a lot. And I thank you guys for allowing me to have this platform. And I just want to say to everyone listening, please continue to stay healthy. You know, we know we're dealing with COVID-19 and there's steps that we need to take to keep ourselves healthy. So I just encourage us all to stay healthy and, you know, enjoy this time with your family, your loved ones, or even yourself. So.
Excellent advice again.
Thank you. And if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and also on Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a condition, medical condition, or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.